pick it up here a little bit from last week and see where we go. Probably we'll just work on this section here. You know, last week we were sharing and talked about, you know, the 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14 is kind of like our stopping off point where we wanted to get to. And it's sharing about the natural and the carnal and then the spiritual man. And so I think it's one of those things we really, for the most part, maybe we all have an understanding of it. Maybe we don't. Maybe we got a little bit. Maybe we remember it and then we kind of forget it. But I think it's important to understand these things because at one time we were all the natural man. Natural man being that of being, excuse me, unregenerated. We're devoid of the Spirit. You know, that's the natural man. That's what we were all like that prior to, before Christ, before Jesus came into our life, before the cross was accomplished and all these things developed and happened, that by that act, everything began to turn and everything had that ability and God had it all in plan and all prepared. Amen. Thank you, God. Because He's my God and He's got it planned out. He's got my days marked and planned out. How about you? Do you believe He's got your days working together and He's got it all set to... He's got it, man. And we just need to walk it out and walk into it. And we got to be trusting and walk it out in faith. It's hard to do if you're the natural man because you're not. Your spirit is devoid. It's void of it. You don't have a connecting link to the things of God. So we're looking at the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. That man, the first time we talked about it, was the natural, comes from the Greek meaning the sensual. Being sensual is mean, common with that of lust, illicit desires, unclean practices. Just it opens up a person to just a lot of things that are out there in the world. Amen. And that's why when we are the natural man or woman, that, you know, we are so much of it into the world, and that's just part of the lifestyle, and we're there. So we wanted to get past that, which we did. We received Christ, and everything's going good. Hallelujah. Now I'm saved, born again, regenerated, enlightened my spirit. I'm alive and I'm awake, and now I want to see what's going on. But what happens if I don't get into it fully? What happens if I still decide that I want to stay a little bit in the world, and maybe even a lot more in the kingdom, but a little bit I still want to stay in the world? That's not going to work. We found that out, right? I probably did in my early walk. I probably tried to do that. I don't know. Is it just a natural progression? I don't know that we get born again, we receive Christ, and then we like it, but we sometimes don't go fully into becoming that of the spiritual man because there's a lot of things to learn. But if we will just allow God to put His Spirit within us and allow our spirit to hook up and be filled with the Holy Spirit, allow Him to begin that downloading process, that process of when you're sleeping. He talks to you when you're sleeping. He gives you thoughts and dreams and visions and things in your nighttime. He talks to you at work. He talks to you when you're out playing and shopping and all these things. As you walk fully in that level of spirituality of hooked up to Him, it's just a constant feeding of information. It's the information that He knows you need. Sometimes we don't know and believe we need it. But He wants to give us all this information so that we can walk out our life on this side of heaven in a powerful, victorious way so that everything that we do fulfills the things that God has for us to do. Because God has that plan for you on this side of heaven. He wants to put His Spirit in you. He puts His Spirit in you totally, and you're sold out to Him. You will accomplish and receive and do what He has planned for your life if you disconnect your thoughts and say, I don't want to do it. Step out of that carnal man, you know, even the carnal man. Where this man talks about the carnal man. He is regenerated. So he's there, His Spirit, He's regenerated, but sometimes He's not living like that. He's still living kind of unregenerate. That's that love of, or not the love, well, the love of the world and the things and that hot and cold and spewing out of the mouth, you know, run either hot or run cold, but don't be lukewarm type of a thing. They are a believer with the childish ways. We've all come unto Christ by that of a child, haven't we? We've all began working by crawling. You know, when we were born again, received Christ, our spirit was regenerated, we began to be alive again and the understandings of the things of God and we receive things a little differently and I'm more in tune to Him. It was one of those times of basically we were crawling as a baby. You know, learning little by little by little. And as we watch children, and that's so wonderful of watching children, and believe it or not, everybody, if you look around at your neighbor, we were all kids at one time. We were all infants. Can you believe that? We didn't even know how to walk. We couldn't even go to the bathroom by ourselves. We had to have taught and be learned all these things. You know, we couldn't even feed ourselves until we gradually grew and developed in these things. So imagine that as a Christian learning and just coming unto the things of Christ. You know, there's a lot of people still out there crawling. Just that newness of what God has done for them. What a wonderful thing to see a person that's been born again. Amen. You know, they rejoice in heaven when one sinner comes home. Hallelujah. So we don't get hung up on, well, we've got to have 500 salvations. We need 150. We need 5,000. You just need one salvation to lighten up heaven like the 4th of July. And so we need to just be aware of that. Focus on one at a time, because when you were where you were at, God was only focused on you one at a time. He looks at each of us as individuals, and He will take care and do whatever He needs to try to do to get you to hook up to Him by paths of people crossing, words being planted into you, somebody plowing you up to drop a seed in, and somebody watering it, and all these things that He is doing because He loves you. He loves you so much, He doesn't want to see you stay the way you are. We got to encourage people that God loves you so much that He wants you to change, not just for the sake of changing, but because if you change by the way God wants you to change, it'll be for a wonderful life, a fun-filled, joyful-filled life, really, and still have problems, but it's still going to be joyful and fun-filled because the joy and what the Lord is all about. And so we see problems and struggles, but we don't let them overtake us. We see situations that we don't like, but we don't be consumed by them. We see things that could be better, but we don't sit there and dwell on those things. You look at them, think, yeah, that's bad. I wish it was better. I'm going to go over here and praise God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day, Lord. Pray about it. Lift it up to Him. Hallelujah. Pray about it. Praise Him. We want to walk out our days praising and worshiping Him no matter where you're at. Don't do it just in church. My goodness. Do it everywhere. Do it at home. Do it in your jobs. Do it in the car. Do it in the bank line. Whatever. I don't care. Hallelujah. Just do it. Get stopped by a train. Raise your hands and shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give Him a shout out. Thank you, Father. But we find that as babies, we develop and grow at different speeds and different time frames. Not everyone in here grew at the same level in the natural things as well as in the spiritual or godly things. We are all on a graft of growing and learning and developing. Some further than others, some not as far, some that are growing by leaps and bounds, and others are just plodding along, whatever the case might be. But, you know, as long as you're developing and growing and getting more mature, perfecting of those things, that's good. It's not for us to look at it, engage and say, well, you should be here by now. Well, I don't know where you should be by now. There's times that I don't even know where I'm at times in the scope of where God wants me to be, but I just want to be found faithful to Him and learning. And if I'm not doing something right, Lord, would you show me and gently nudge me or encourage me or send somebody to cross my path to tell me or whatever it might be, just because, Lord, I just want to hear from you and I want to bless you. But we find in the carnal man that he is regenerated, but he's living much like that of the unregenerated person, like that natural man. They are a believer with childish ways. Now, it talks about that where it says here, talked about the natural man in 14. And then down in 3:1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with the milk and not with the solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able to, for you are still carnal. There's strife and envy, divisions among you." Those things still are in our lives. Those things are still dealing with that person, that man or woman of God. Yes, Spirit's alive. Yes, the Spirit's hooked up. Yes, they're born again. Hallelujah for that. But they still walk in a lot of envy. They still have situations there that they're dealing with that of strife, and they create divisions within families. They create divisions within the church. Whatever it might be, they're just that type of person. They're divisive. They just, whatever it is, there's just something that's got to be worked out of them. You know? Get a mind of Christ. That's what we need, that mind of Christ. So we find that in that chapter 3 talking about this. We call this person an immature Christian. My goodness, I don't know if this would be like a worldly Christian that lives more for human opinion than from Christ. You know, that's the thing where we want to hear a lot of accolades from people rather than hearing an attaboy from God. You know, and praise God for people that encourage you. Praise God for people that come up, oh, so-and-so, yeah, it was a wonderful prayer you did. Oh, that was a wonderful blessing that you did in serving in that area. Oh, you know, that was a great message. Oh, that was wonderful worship. Oh, that was, and that's all well and good and things like that. But, you know, above it all, we want to get to that level of saying, well, praise God, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I just want to make sure that my Lord loves it and that I'm honoring him in it, you know, and that the things we say and do and function with are things that hopefully are continually to give honor and glory to him, because that's what he's working through all of us. So we've got to be careful that we are not looking for the opinion of man. That carnal Christian is still looking for man to encourage them or to give them that whatever opinion of how it's going, and if I please him, then I'm doing good. Well, no, you want to please your Father. So we're looking at this as that carnal man as that. They still are looking for the human side of opinion rather than Christ. These are people that are with weak faith or maybe little faith. They're the doubters. You know, here again, guys, it's a developing, growing time. It's okay when you come into the faith and you come into Jesus as your Lord and Savior and growing and developing as a baby, that you're still crawling and you're still working on, maybe I doubt this, or I really don't know if I trust him for that, and will he really do this type thing? And those are probably a lot of things that were on our minds and we said or wondered about in the first months of salvation, of maybe the first couple of years, just growing and developing. Well, trials and tribulations come along to perfect your faith. So we've got to let people understand these things, that you're still going to have problems and struggles and stressful things happening in your life. But you don't need to let them control your life. You need to turn them over to God. Pray to him. Encourage and be encouraged by him. Honor him. Ask him, Lord, here I am. Take care of this. But we find out that his word does say it's to help us grow and develop and perfect our faith. But we find people in our churches, and here's the sad thing, they're weak faith, little faith, doubters and all that, and they might be, what do you think when you find somebody that's been in the faith, so to speak, in the church for so many years, 25, 30 years, 15 years, 18 years, you name the years, you look at them and you're thinking, wow, they must have just the faith galore, you know, and you start talking to them and things happen in their life, and you hear how they talk, you know, you listen. It's so enlightening to listen to people talk and how they phrase things and how they preface things. A lot of, even a Christian that's in this carnal side that's not totally developed into things of that of a spiritual being, of just hooked up to God, is they will still have some doubts. They might even speak in doubting words and things like, well, I hope so, or I wish, or I'm you know, If the Lord's willing, you know, type thing. Well, we want the Lord's will in these things, but, you know, we find out, and we're going to go through the study in Sunday school next week or so about the names of God and you know, healing, Jehovah, and all the names that were developed around God because of the things he did in the New Testament. So God has a way of working things out in our life, and we realize that, you know, God wants us to prosper. God wants us, and I'm not talking your bank account is way up here. I'm talking God wants you to prosper in your life and what you are doing about life and what you're doing to those around you as far as sharing the gospel, sharing the love, sharing the light of heaven to them in a dark world. So he wants us to do these things. But to be able to do that effectively, you've got to really develop out of that carnal side and get into that spiritual side, because if you're still walking in that immature Christian side, you're good, And then you're stumbling. Then you're good. Then you're stumbling. Then you're good. And that's not a good testimony to those around you that you're trying to lead to the Lord. Because they'll say, well, you say you're a Christian and you're as down as I am, or you're as miserable as I am. I don't need to be that. I'll just stay where I'm at. So we've got to think about what are we telegraphing to people of how we are in our faith and where we're at with our Lord. And they will look at your actions. They will look at what you say. They will listen to how you phrase things. They will see what you do in this situation or that situation. Especially in this day and age with so much happening in the political field and so much happening in the government and the nation. My goodness, it's just a hotbed of things out there that would get us all twisted and just like that if we would allow it. But don't allow it. Walk in peace. Walk in shalom. Perfect peace and blessings, and let the Lord, my goodness, he's there for us. And we'll probably get into that one time about shalom. My goodness, be that. And it's wonderful, and that's how we, as mature Christians, walking these things out, even in a world that is just upside down. How do you make sense of it? I'm not worried about making sense of it. I'm just wanting to be connected to my God. I just want to be with him. He'll get me through it somehow, some way. I mean, if I can read the Old Testament and find out how he got the children of Israel through all the water and through this and through the desert and through the pestilences and all these things, I think he can take care of little old Tim. But these cardinal men or women are people with weak faith, doubters. We have to have built up our faith. Faith muscles, that's what you need. You know, there's something in his word talking about that. You know, physical exercise really is not for nothing, you know. It's really the spiritual exercise, the things that you do in the faith and building up these things in that are really going to be the things that get you through the things of life. Characteristics of these type of people would be that they are doubters, they doubt God, and they even doubt the word of God. Man, doesn't that blow you away when you're in a conversation with one of them possibly and over coffee or they're going through something and some of the things they say, they're like the doubting that of God or this or that, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I thought they were a Christian, you know? Well, they are, but they're not fully leveled into that spiritually. They're still in that limbo thing, and it's their choice to be there. It's their choice to stay where they're at. Because if you would just really, when Christ comes into your heart and you sell out to him and say, all for you, Lord, all to Jesus, all to him, that you will find that he will place all of himself in you and that you will look at things a lot differently and things won't be like they used to be. You'll be able to laugh at struggles. You'll be able to pass them off as, well, it's just another day, but I'm just getting closer to glory. Whatever the case might be, you know, we just don't know. But it's how we react to these things. But we find that they even doubt and doubt God and the word of God. They will always obey the flesh, and they're fleshly. They'll obey the flesh before they will obey that of the Spirit of directing them and leading them and telling them something, because they're still walking in too much of the carnal nature, the flesh of that person. Babies in Christ, or they're babes in Christ, they still need to be fed with the milk, not the solid food. They could be new converts or old converts who are stuck in the milk doctrines. And all that is just milk doctrines. You look at some of that. It's just that you continually go through the same thing over and over and over. You learn this, you get to this level, and then you slip back. And now you're saying, oh, I got to be taught some more of the basic stuff again. And then I get up to this, and oh, now I got to be taught back. Let's talk about salvation again. Let's talk about the blood covenant. Let's talk about what Jesus did for you. Let's talk about what God prepared for you. We're back to square one. Get them up here. Something happens, they slide back. You've got to keep growing and developing the things of what God has for you. And some time back, we went through several weeks of talking about perfecting of your faith. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect, perfection, maturing, developing, those things that are growing. God wants us to mature. He doesn't want us to be left as just like, you know, kids in diapers, our whole Christian walk. He does say, come to me as little children, you know. But that's because you can come to him as a child, and whatever I'm told as a child, you can pretty well tell a child something, and they'll believe it, won't they? Generally, you know, saying this and that, and they go, really? Because they look at you as like, I trust you. You're my dad. You're my grandpa. Ooh, boy, that's dangerous. Run, kids, it's grandpa. But they look at that and they believe that. They're just like, whatever I tell them. That's what God is saying when he come to me as little children. He says to do that. He's not telling us, I want you to remain as children. He just says, come to me as little children so that you trust my word is saying that I am your heavenly Father. I will take care of you and provide for you and do these things for you. But I want you to be maturing along this path so that you will be a strong follower, a strong believer, a believer that others can look at and say, that's what I want. That's what I want in my life. I want to be just like that. Well, if you want to be just like that, don't be just like him. Be just like him. That's who we want to be like. Emulate the things of Jesus. That's why we talk about being followers and a fellowship and a discipleship of Christ. When you disciple someone, they're looking at and you're emulating that of Jesus. You want to copy what he did and put it into your life so that people look at a copy. Now, if we had the original of this and a copy of this, and I put them side by side, would you be able to tell the difference? Generally not. It would look the same. Oh, this is the original, and this is a copy. This would be like, well, I don't have to here, but if I did have to. You know, we would be able to look at that and say, well, I don't know which one's the real and which one's the copy. What's the original? And that's how we want to get with Christ, to the point of we are disciples. We are disciples of Christ. We're emulating him. We're copying. Whatever Jesus did, that's what we want to do. However Jesus responded to that sinner, hey, that's how you better respond to that sinner. However he responded to that problem, that's better be how you respond to that problem. You know, whatever it is, what would my Jesus do? What did Jesus do? How would Jesus do it? You stop before you respond and do and say things to people, and you just quickly in your spirit say, what would Jesus do? It'll flash in you quickly. Boom! Love. Forgive. Compassion. Encourage. Not to leave them where they're at. Encourage them and try to get them out and to help them for sure. It's not to sit there and say, oh, it'll be okay. Just stay where you're at. No, we're going to help people and pull them out of that sin. We're going to pull them out of the pit of hell. But we're not going to sit there and say, well, that's so stupid. How could you be like that? Give me your hand. Get out of there, you. Oh, my gosh. You're dumber than a box of rocks. I never heard Jesus or read anything in the parables of Jesus saying that to people that did stupid things. He was more upset and more agitated with the religious order, the priests and the high priests and all those people that were like, ooh, they should know. And they did know the law. They knew all that of God and the power of all that. And in some respects, that's good, but they eroded it down the line. And they didn't walk their talk. And then we came up with the word hypocrite. And they say, well, that's what the church is today. I'm not going to a church. I don't care what church. They're all hypocrites. Well, the old thing is, well, I tell you what, if you're going and you come to a church and you say, well, I'll tell you what, brother or sister, if you're looking for the perfect church, you might as well keep going down the road because we're just all filled, this church is filled with sinners and people learning and growing with the things of God. And besides that, you're here now, so I doubt if we're perfect anymore. What do you mean by that? Well, that's a good way to go opposite of church growth. But you just say it the way it is, man. We're all just sinners saved by grace on this path, on this side of heaven, in the world that is guided and led by the spirit of that of the devil, just trying to trip you up, trying to sneak around and stab you in the back, trip you up, watch you fall, say things dumb, fall off the wagon of what God has for you. Just do all these things. But we want to emulate, we want to be that of a follower of Christ so that when we put us side by side, we should be able to say, wow, I didn't know if that was Jesus here or was that you here, you know? And it's not to say we are Jesus and we are going to become him. No, it's not that, respecting that. But it's just like when you disciple someone, you train them, teach them so they learn just what you did. So if we are the original and now this is the copy, this is me, and I begin to be acting out in the carnal nature of a Christian, I'm going to probably, you'll find some things in this here as you open them up and see the inside of me, that's not going to be the same as what Jesus looks like. Because I'm not really fellowshipping and discipling with him. I only went so far. Page 1 or 2 is really I copied him, and after 3 and 4 and 5, I didn't follow him after that because it got to be too much, I thought. It got to be too much because it was one of these things that it was like, oh, if I do that, I can't do this. Well, you know what? Eventually you will leave and you will grow and mature and you'll want to leave earthly desires and things like that, or things that used to hold you in the flesh, to say, well, I'd rather do this than go to church. There's things out there, I tell you what, I'd rather give things up to go to church. My goodness. And that was like that, guys, before I became a pastor. So it's not like, well, you're saying that because you're a pastor. No. When I was learning and growing and developing instantly things with God and learning and dropping things in my spirit, it was like I could not wait to get back to church on that next Sunday. So sad to say, there's a lot of people in our churches today that they can't, you know, they're kind of at that point and saying, I'll go to church on Sunday if nothing else comes up. Or if I'm going to do this, well, I might go to this party rather than to the church. You have to decide and decide in where you're going to draw your boundaries. But I'm going to tell you, wherever you draw your boundaries at, that's where God will draw his boundaries with you. And so I want to draw my boundaries to where I want to stay focused with him. I want to stay focused. And I'm not saying you miss church, you're a sinner, and you're a backslider and all that. But it's just that we have to, as we grow, remember, as we mature, as we become more spiritual and connected to the things of God, that we don't want anything else in this world but God. We are sold out. I think Carmen had songs out there, sold out, addicted to Jesus, and all these things out there. Just listen to some of those old songs that he sang, you know. Being addicted to something means you can't go without it. Addicted to Jesus. People are addicted to drugs, they're addicted to alcohol, they're addicted to sex, they're addicted to their job, they're addicted to shopping, they're addicted to whatever. And whatever that addiction is, that's what your draw is going to be. So Carmen comes up to something like being addicted, I think, to Jesus. I don't know, maybe I just made a new title up, I'm not sure. But Carmen, what a guy. Interesting music and how he came about and wonderful things. But that's what we want to be. We want to be, what would my Jesus do in a situation like this? Wow, that's awesome. It has saved me a lot of times from probably doing something really silly, guys, to take that 3-second delay, you know, like they have on radio stations and TV, you know, if you do something stupid, it's like a 3 or 4 second delay that they can cancel it out before it goes over the air. Praise God. Lord, please put that little delay, I guess what they call it, put that delay in my mouth, in my head, so that I hear you first before I respond the way my natural side would want to. Because by doing that, you will save a lot of face of having to go back saying, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. That sounded dumb. Boy, I hurt you. All these things. It'd be nice to have that little delay in there. But the people that are Christians, but they're still being milked, and they need the milk, and they need this, and they just, they constantly are up, and then they're down, and they're up, and then they're down. We'll do that as much as we have to learn and develop and grow, for sure. But it's so much nicer to just continue to be on a stretch of a pathway of just continuing to grow. That'd be like people that are in school. You got to the 8th grade, going into high school. It's like, oh, you slipped again. Now you got to go back to 3rd grade and start over and do it again. 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th, we're getting ready to 9th. Boom, you're back. Nope, now you're in the 5th grade. Start over. If that was life and it was our life in the things of Christ, that's what a lot of us are doing. That's what a lot of ourselves are. And at one time, I was probably like that. I was probably like that until the thing really hit me and that I really knew, that I knew, that I knew, that I wanted, that I wanted, and I love God. It's a personal thing that has to change within yourself. I can't change you. The person next to you can't change you. It's something that you have to connect to that of the Spirit and allow that to happen. Praise God when it does, though. It's fun. It says here that being stuck in the milk doctrine means that you are still drawn by and to the world, and at the same time you're claiming to be that of a Christian. You go to church on Sunday and you get some spiritual imparting and some nourishment. And then the rest of the week, you're out in the world doing basically what the natural man is doing, which is far removed from living like that of a life of Christ. And that's why people get upset. That's why people, they just are having frustrations within themselves. That's why they can't cope with things. They don't quite understand what's going on. They're, I am a Christian and God did this for me and Jesus is my Lord, and yet I'm having these struggles and problems and this and that, and it just seems like I can't get anywhere. Well, we need to have a stop where you're at and let's focus on some things and see where you're at with God. Are you truly sold out to God? Spirit, soul, mind, body. He wants it all. Love the Lord your God with all of yourself. And so many of us love the God with only three of our things or one of ourselves, and we keep the other three and we don't want to give that up. Or we give it and we take back. We give it and we take it back. Thing is about it, guys, how God is that you can give it to him, but if you want it and take it back, he will give it back to you. God's not going to say, oh, psst, nope, you gave me that ball. That's mine now. Come on, can I have it back, please? Nope, nope, I'm God. I'm going to keep it from you. I know what's best for you. No. He takes it from you, and then all of a sudden you say, yeah, I want it back. And you'll just do it on your own natural things. You'll just start taking it back, you know? So many times we pray for people, and we pray in the situations and all, and we say, give it over to God. Leave it at the altar. Don't take it with you. When you leave, leave it here. That Sunday they leave it here, and they go out, and then next Sunday they come back, and they pick it up, and they take it back with them because they missed it. It's like, what? Why would you take that back? Let it go. It almost sounds like that, what's that Frozen song, but instead, let it snow or let it go? Yeah. Let it, what is it? Let it go. There it is. Let it go, let it go. We've got to let it go. Don't ask for it back. You ask for it back, God is a gracious God. He'll say, well, here you go if you want it. You were doing much better without it, but you want it. So we get it back, and then we have frustrations, and we struggle, and all these things happen again. So closing out on this here, we'll wrap this up here a little quick here. We've already read it, 1 Corinthians 3, 1-5. Talks about, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're not able to. Talking about these people in the church in the Corinth times. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy and strife and divisions, and Paul was seeing that. We can see that in churches. We can see that in struggles that things go through. It's terrible to see churches go through strifes and struggles and divisions. It hurts the kingdom of God, but it glorifies that of the devil. The devil likes to see those things fall apart and all these things happening. It's just like, hey, all right, you know, that's good. Because already the devil, you know, the devil's not going to stir in the world out there because those people are lost and die and then going to hell anyway. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, getting them all stirred up. He's wanting to stir up those of the Christians so that he can say, hey, okay, God, you said that they were yours. Here's what I'm going to do, and this and this and this, and happens. All of a sudden they fall away. There's division, there's strife, there's envy, jealousy. And all of a sudden the church splits and these people go, and then the church dies. And now it's, who wins in that situation? Does the kingdom of heaven win in that? No. It's a mark like, whew. Not that God lost. It's not that he lost it, because we all have free will. We all still walk in that area of free will. So it's not like God said, well, fine, I've lost another church. No, that church or that group or that individual, whatever individual person on their own was defeated. They allowed things to happen. Little leaven, leaven's the whole loaf. All these things develop and come in within their body, and we've got to be careful of it. We've got to watch that we don't have that envy, that we don't have strife and divisions. That's one of the things that we pray for the church. Lord, let us walk in. If you have unity, can you have strife? Generally not. Pray for unity. Pray for oneness. Pray for the things of the church to be as of one, because in God's word, he says, as one, you know, come to me in one, you know, oneness, unity of one. That's what we've got to do. If we can keep united in one, chances are division won't be there, strife won't be there, envy won't be there, all these things that are out there that want to destroy the things of God, or the things that Christians and those that are working so much for the kingdom of God. The carnal person is having a carnal mind is enmity. It's a going against God. We hear that word. That's in Romans 8, 7. It's talking about that the carnal person having a carnal mind is at enmity against God. This is talking about being at a very deep, unfriendly feeling. Enmity with God. Your mind is at enmity. So it's having a unfriendly feeling. It talks about being bitterness. Bitterness. Your carnal mind is bitter against God. Your carnal mind is unfriendly. It's got a grudge. It's got hostility to the things of God. That's what that's talking about when you look at that in Romans 8, 7, that person having that carnal mind. Let's see if we can just Uh-oh, we got to get going here. Says here, because the carnal mind, and another word, carnal, fleshly minded is death, it is that too, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're walking and moving and working in the flesh, you will not please God. Be aware of that. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I love the world to see and look around and see what God has done, God created, and God does day in and day out with all the flowers and the trees and even the bugs that we have to step on. You know, but I love to see all that and how wonderful it is. And I love the things that God has done in the world, but I don't love the world where it takes the place of God. You know, I like to see his hand in things. The world in that verse in 1 John 2:15 is referring to the spirit of evil that's operating in our world under the dominion of Satan. So do not love the world or the things of the world. The world in verse 1 John 2:15, in that verse it's referring to the spirit of evil operating in our world under the dominion of Satan. And there is that spirit working in this world. If you don't believe it, just look out there. Just listen to things that are happening. Look at society. Listen to things that are crazy. Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, guys, just when you think you've heard it all, you get your socks knocked off. Now, we knew things were not right. We knew abortion was wrong. We knew that that wasn't the way to go down that slope of what we're on. And we knew that was a slippery slope. Anything that goes, I tell you what, against the things of God is a very slippery slope. And we'll end, I guess, with this. But then next week we'll get the spiritual person. Let's touch upon this because of how it came out this week. Talking about Planned Parenthood. You've heard that news about that. The person or two went under the guise of they were researchers wanting to do talking with Planned Parenthood, and this doctor or facilitator of this Planned Parenthood organization somewhere sits down and they're talking about doing scientific research and things of that nature. And now it all comes out, oh my goodness, that in some of these instances, probably a lot more than we really know, and it's probably done by the tens of thousands, that aborted babies have been taken. And they do it in such a way so they can preserve the organs and things that they can, supposedly they only sell it to get their recouped cost of shipping and delivery, which, well, that's, who knows what that's all about. But then they do that and sell it to the scientists and these organizations to study the internal organs. And so what they're basically saying is we abort the baby in such a way that we preserve the organs and internal things or whatever it might be so that we can send them on to these factories of researching stuff, you know. Did you guys hear that or is that just me? It came out this last week or so back. Just check out Planned Parenthood. You know, we look at them as, Planned Parenthood sounds like a very lovely organization. Planned Parenthood. But it's one of these things that they are out there doing these things and how. And they're talking about taking these babies that are actually, they're fully formed. How could you pull out something like that and say it's just a fetus? It's just of tissue. It's got arms, hands, fingers, legs. It's like pulling a little baby doll out.
Oh my God! How close to life are they in preserving them?
That close. If they were to be born, that they could put them on support, and probably with the technology that we have now, neonatal care, they develop those babies to live. But, you know, those are the things that are coming out and happening, but that's the nature, that's this world that we live in, that's the spiritual battle that's going on out there, because we see how many lives have been lost, how many lives will never be about people that have been men and women that were babies and boys and girls, that who knows the plan and the purpose that God had for that baby in that womb, because he says, I know them before I formed them in their mother's womb. So it's an attack of the enemy, it's an attack of the devil to take out the plans that God has, and he works it through that of man, through science, through these agencies to say, well, we're doing this because it's a choice. I got a right. See, that's that slippery slope that we get into. And that's why we got to stay hooked up to God. But that's that carnal, fleshly people. Even some of the people in church don't see a problem with that. Well, it's just science. It's things that are happening. Well, that's not the right thing to do. There will be science out there, but that's not the way you want to do it, by taking babies and humans to do that. Cardinal, fleshly people are neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm and they're doubters. Revelation will close with this, 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, this is what it says in Revelation 3:16, and you're neither cold nor you're hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Be hot, be cold. Be one or the other. Just don't be that in-between thing. And as we close, I asked God that one time. I said, what does that mean? So he thought, kind of put me into the natural setting of things. And just quickly, how it talks about how if you want to save food, you either do one or two things. You either cook it to kill the germs, or you freeze it to keep the germs from growing. But if you put anything on the stove or anything out and just leave it get lukewarm, that's when bacteria and things fester and develop in it. That's kind of like, I guess, when I asked the Lord about this. What does this all mean about lukewarm, hot and cold? I just felt in my spirit. He says, well, what do you do to protect your food and to keep it from getting rotten? Cook it and freeze it. But you just can't keep it warm. And that's what we are as Christians, that are just walking that line where we don't want one foot in heaven, one foot in the earth, one foot in heaven. You're just allowing stuff to develop in your system that's bacteria and things that is not good. And he says you need to be running hot or you need to be running cold.